If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As mentioned, looking forward to having a conversation with Sean Wibberley, the CEO of Home Choice, not only a company that was typically known as a catalogued retailer to us in South Africa, but remains so given its competitive nature, and also recently published its financial results, given that it is listed on the JSE. Mr. Wibberley, such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you and good evening, Lugalia. Thank you for having me on your show.
Excited to speak to you, Sean. As I reflected on the introduction, I thought to myself, my goodness, this took me back to my childhood and maybe just relishing in the orders that my mother would actually process, or even just the experience of reading and reflecting on the catalogue. But maybe just remind us, for those who aren't familiar with Home Choice, how the business has really evolved over the last 20, 30 years, but still is entrenched in the consumer environment in South Africa.
Yes, well, actually, in April next month, we're celebrating our 40th birthday in Home Choice.
Oh my, jeez!
Yeah, we launched way back in April on April Fool's Day in 1985, and it was launched as a mail order business, to the underserved female customer in South Africa, offering cookware to those customers, and then also offering credit to make the aspirational cookware affordable. And it was the first time that credit had been extended into the mass market, and especially to the female mass market. Mm-hmm. And that was the humble beginnings of Home Choice. And over time they've expanded from cookware into what everyone now knows Home Choice to be famous for, which are its textiles, its bedding and its blankets and its curtainware and what have you. And it's a very generationally loved brand, really quality homewares which are highly aspirational. And as you said, it was very much a catalog business. Mm. And browsing through the catalog for end to end was something many of our female customers loved to do. And having a catalog on your coffee table was an aspirational item to have in your home, in fact, along with the actual product itself.
Exactly. You can tell that I typically fall into your target market, right? Because just reflecting on the experience brings up all those feelings and emotions for me, just in terms of the experience. But the experience still remains true, though the business is fundamentally a fintech player right now, prioritizing, I guess, effective payments in the buy now and pay later segment. Your results came out yesterday, and perhaps we can use this opportunity also just to reflect on what the financials do reveal about the operating environment and the competitiveness of the business in the market.
Yeah, I mean, if we just take Home Choice's evolution over time, 18 years ago, I co-founded the start of FinChoice, which was born to be a provider of personal lending products to the Home Choice customer. So we're also in FinChoice celebrating our 18th birthday. We've now officially become an adult, and that business was born off the back of Home Choice customers. We use the Home Choice catalog to exhibit ourselves to the Home Choice customer. And it was a telephonic business back then, as in customers would speak to us on the telephone to inquire about credit and to do an application. And the journey of the business then after that has been one of migrating towards more digital engagement. And we went through the transformation of customers first using USSD, which is a kind of like an SMS protocol in the way that customers would understand it. Mm-hmm. And then customers adopted to smartphones, and we shifted to the finchoice.mobi site, where customers could then access the financial products 24/7 via a smartphone richer interface. And that evolution has now morphed into it being an app. And that whole financial services segment of the group has really seen tremendous growth, especially in the last few years. And now the financial services business is 92% of the group's profits.
Sure.
You mentioned Pay Just Now, or the Buy Now, Pay Later product. We acquired that business. So most of our businesses, or all of our businesses since we started, have been organically spawned off, the FinChoice business in lending and then later on into insurance. But in 2021, we acquired PagesNow to get exposure to the payments space in South Africa. And you know, PagesNow are the market leaders in South Africa of, with their Buy Now, Pay Later product, mm-hmm. which allows consumers at the point of sale to afford their basket of goods more easily by splitting the cost of those goods three ways. So you pay a third up front, and a third a month later, and a third a month after that. So it's kind of like lay-by in reverse, where instead of putting the money down each month and then in 3 or 4 months' time getting the goods, you get the goods up front, and we collect the money from you going forward, one-third now and then the other two-thirds later. So really convenient product for customers because they get immediate access to the goods, and they're not paying anything incremental for it. And the merchants are liking it because customers are able to increase the size of their basket or buy the more fancier jacket or pair of sneakers or whatever their purchase is. The merchants then pay us at PagesNow for switching that transaction for them. So quite a nice purchase relationship between customers and merchants and ourselves.
It's a huge shift, and I think this does need to be emphasized because, if I'm not mistaken, you've also found an avenue to actually partner with many retail stores that South African consumers frequent.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have over 2,800 merchants that are now affiliated with the PagesNow network. There are many household brands that you would know, such as Game and Macro, Superbalist, mm-hmm. Cape Union, Mart. There's a very, very long list.
Yes.
Go and see it, pagesnow.com, if your listeners would like to do that. And that footprint is growing more and more because what we have developed now is a two-sided ecosystem. So on the one side of the ecosystem, if you can imagine in your mind's eye, we have 2,800 merchants. Many of those merchants have multiple stores, such as you know, many, many Cape Union marts around the country, for example. Some have a single store and some might have a single online presence. But that's the one side of the ecosystem. On the other side, we've got 2.8 million fintech customers who then are able to access products or access those merchants to do payments and transactions. And this two-sided ecosystem sort of feeds off itself. The more merchants we have, the more attractive we are for customers. And the more customers we have, the more merchants want to partner with us because we can bring new and repeat customers back into their stores and help them conclude the transaction.
100%. And I find this so innovative, right? Because even though South African consumers might think of Home Choice as just the catalog business, as you say, we actually interface with your business in so many touch points on a day-to-day basis that we continue to have a symbiotic relationship, not only growth and contribution to your business and revenues, but also the service that South African consumers have in terms of options when it comes to making payments. And I think that's also the intriguing part about the growth and the evolution of Home Choice, and largely led by the initial business that you founded being fintech focused, is the fact that the consumer has, evolved in terms of their financial preferences. We've been through high interest rates. They've cooled down slightly. Inflation still has us slightly under pressure. But it's been a muted environment for consumers. But I'm keen to understand your feedback as to how our credit profile has shifted as consumers and as a result influenced our payment behavior.
Yeah, so, you know, for the last 18 years of managing a credit portfolio, called FinChoice in the South African market. There's been the ebbs and flows of the credit markets, rising interest rates and the cycle of credit over time. And what our philosophy with the FinChoice business was to make credit reassuring and accessible to Home Choice customers. That was the initial premise of the brainchild of the FinChoice business. And in order to do that, you need to leverage your data. And our philosophy was to be her favorite digital financial services provider once we started seeing that digital was where we wanted to go. And so we helped hold the hand, so to speak, of our consumer from queuing at a store in order to get a loan or a branch, to doing it on a phone and trusting the doing so of taking a loan at a distance because of the trust equity of dealing with Home Choice, and then holding her hand as she moved to doing it on her smartphone, mm-hmm. and trusting us in the engagement. And everything we've done there is to leave her with the impression in her emotions that we are her favorite provider of digital financial services. And to do that, you've got to leverage data. You've got to serve up offers that she is pre-approved for, so that there's a high reassurance about what we offer is what she will get. The language we use, the tonality of the design, it's all curated around serving the traditional Home Choice mass market female customer in South Africa, who had traditionally been so underserved. And that philosophy, even though we have men on our portfolio, 30% of our portfolio are men and 70% are female percent. And we design everything with her in mind. When we have a product discussion, for example, or we trying to design a new UX or a new way of integrating with the company, with the customer, mm-hmm. we always talk about her or she. She comes into the room, so to speak, in an emotional way, so that when we are designing our products, it is our female customer we're designing for, not a generic Mr. Customer or it or what have you. It's very much the Home Choice female that everyone in our business knows so well, because that's the whole ethos of the business.
Yeah. I like it, and I find this so intriguing, and it's, you know, to get the data and the insight on the performance of the female customer or consumer, mm-hmm. who makes up a large chunk of your portfolio as well as customer base. Something else that also intrigues me has to be, I guess, just how the business has evolved. As you've mentioned, you started FinChoice almost 18 years ago. We do see Home Choice turning 40. So all of this has been a journey. And for many of us, when we look at a business like Home Choice and how it's essentially evolved before our eyes, we don't really understand the intricacies of the journey and the pivotal moments and shifts that had to take place. So I'm intrigued for you to perhaps take us into your confidence and just give us some insight as to how, in such a volatile market, ever-changing with regulatory fluctuations and at times mm-hmm. restrictions, did you find the innovative drive to say, hold on, catalog is not where we need to stay. We actually need to shift. That might be the core memory of what our brand represents. But ultimately, we're actually a fintech business.
Yes, and I mean, the innovation is not just limited to the tech business itself, the fintech business, the financial services side. The retail business itself, as you just said, was very much known for its catalog. And every month, the South African Postal Service would deliver a catalog to all of our customers, literally 12 over the course of a year. And those customers would browse through the catalog and then make a telephonic request to buy something. And that morphed into going online to do the transaction. But of course, with the troubles with the post office and the realities of the situation regarding the delivery of catalogs, we've been forced to shift into different ways of doing things. And one of the real pivotal innovations has been us launching small format showrooms across the country at areas close to where our customer lives. And so now for the first time, customers can go into a showroom and touch and feel the blankets and look at a curated bed with the reversible duvet and actually see it in situ. So it's a very immersive touch and feel type experience. And then in that showroom, through either digital terminals or speaking to our assistants there, put orders through, and those orders then are delivered in for collection a couple of days later in the showroom. And that has really been a great growth vector for the Home Choice business in recent years. And it's testament to the innovation. We've got to follow our customer and how she engages. The catalog has not been something we could continue to roll out in the way we had before because of the troubles of distribution of the catalog. But it's actually working out really nicely, having bricks and mortar real presence across the country where customers can actually see what the goods. And what we're seeing now is about, I think it's 47% of customers purchasing in the showrooms are brand new to the brand. And it's not just people that have shopped before at HomeChoice going to the showroom. It's people seeing it, hearing about it, going to it, touching and feeling the blankets and then putting orders through. So that's been really compelling. And what we want to do, I think we have 37 showrooms now, and we want to grow that to 100 in the next 2 years. And there's capacity to grow even further.
My goodness.
In terms of demand.
Sure. What I'm intrigued by, does this contribute to the number, the 100,000 new customers that you sign on or onboard every month? And just how much more, how much bigger is the scope to actually increase that number?
So that number is all on the fintech side only. So the Pages Now product is, we don't do a lot of marketing about the product to entice customers to take it. It's very much now gotten to a stage where word of mouth is selling this product, and customers are going to the pagesnow.com website or downloading the app and then activating themselves as a customer and then going and shopping at merchants. Or they are seeing the Pagesnow logo as a checkout option online or in store. Because of that are then signing up. So that particular product line is booking over 100,000 customers every month. So last year we booked 1.2 million customers onto the BNPL platform. And the ecosystem strategy is once those customers are on board and they're transacting with merchants and as expected, we are leveraging our data on those consumers to then personalize credit and insurance offerings to the consumer. And that for me is the real flywheel effect of an ecosystem where you have this network of acquired customers who then very efficiently and easily cross sell across your platform.
Got you.
And that's our goal, is to really stretch that. In the last 5 years, it's been growing fantastically. We've had compound annual growth rates of revenue, disbursements, profits of over 30% for the last 5 years. And I see that growing. It's the smart way to shop. It's very compelling. It's very word of mouth. Merchants are enjoying it because they're seeing trade incremental through their tools as a result of it. We're accumulating customers with their data and then being able to serve digital other financial products to her, not in a push way, but in a pull way where she goes to the platform to see her purchase and what her transactions have been on Buy Now Pay Later, and then get exposed to the FinChoice products. I was just going to say, in addition, FinChoice itself is an established brand in the market, and we are booking directly from the market over 10,000 customers a month, and then HomeChoice itself is booking customers, and as I said, many of them are now arriving into the HomeChoice brand as their first port of call being a showroom.
So it's experiential.
Yeah, very much so. And so the HomeChoice is the quality of their merchandise, excellent merchandising that the team have been doing literally for 40 years. And so it all starts with the merchandise in retail. And then in financial services, for me, it's always been about having accessible, well understood products that are reassuring, in that there's nothing worse than needing credit and then seeing an advert to get up to 10,000 Rand, and you come in there and you get declined, or you only get 2,000 Rand. We try and make sure that when we market to customers, it's personalized marketing, so that if we say you can get 4,000 Rand, you can get 4,000 Rand based on the data we have on you. We don't get it perfectly right, obviously, but we certainly do largely get it right.
100%. Sean, this has been so intriguing just to see how the themes of the two businesses weave together so beautifully, not only retail, but also financial services. And of course, just your reach for the customer experience. And I guess still maintaining the competitive advantage in providing the bricks and mortar experience. People can touch and feel versus what we see with our Chinese competitors, Shein and Temu, where it's largely just an online engagement and you only get to experience the products once they actively arrive. I'm going to squeeze one last question in there and largely focused on that. The competitive environment in terms of e-commerce and the retail arm, are you finding that there's any clear competition, largely from the Asian e-commerce platforms?
Look, I think the Asian competitors are taking a bit of market share. But I do think that the Home Choice product is fairly niche. It's fairly upper end. It's aspirational. And the design of the textiles and the bedding and the blankets is quite original and quite unique, and it's known in the marketplace for its uniqueness and its quality. So I think there's a strong differentiation in the merchandising of the Home Choice product and its brand that a Temu, for example, I don't think compete, but they're much more of a broad-based, you know, anything goes kind of retailer versus the more niche home proud female gotcha. Buyers, South African homewares merchandise that Home Choice is so famous for.
Got you. And there's almost a sense of pride and camaraderie and community around those purchases too. So definitely taking me back. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Sean. There's so much more we could distill from this conversation in terms of your evolution as well as a contribution to growth in so many avenues, retail, financial services, and of course, the consumer experience, and remaining competitive even through a difficult economic climate. So certainly, we tilt our hats to you and your team. Thank you again for your time this evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Sean Wibberley, the CEO of Home Choice, but also the CEO of FinChoice, a business started 18 years ago. Home Choice itself also celebrating 40 years in the industry this coming April. Can you believe it? Just to build a business that has that much resilience over the last few years definitely takes an innovative pitch to it. And I think as entrepreneurs, as consumers, there's always something for us to learn in the stories that are reflected by CEOs like Sean Wibberley that speak to the level of resilience, innovation, and just additional thinking, right? That speaks to the ecosystem that you're looking to create for your customers. Share your thoughts with us, your views and the evolution and your experience with Home Choice. Are you perhaps old school like me, the catalog girlies who used to fantasize about their homes one day with their cushions? But maybe you got to experience the in-person stores that they also have and order online from that. Share your voice notes with us. 063-688-0959. It's just after 7:30. Do stay with us. When we come back, we've got an important conversation with you, taking a look at the process post the budget. What happens now when it comes to cabinet having to reach an alignment on the budget proposals that were shared by the finance minister just yesterday?
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.